And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Thanks for making us part of your Monday. You know, every time I hear this song, Ben, I can't help but thinking...
Sunday?
How much I dislike you two.
Oh.
What a dreadful band and song.
I like this song. I like early U2. I'm not big late U2, which is 2000, which is now 25 years ago, which is crazy. But yeah, that era, when they kind of had that huge album... Hugh, whatever it was called. That's when I kind of soured on them. But I don't mind this old stuff.
You're not going to like today, then.
No, and I know I'm offending people because U2 fans are very, like, dedicated U2 fans. But, yeah, hard pass.
They're, man, arguably the biggest rock band of our life.
No.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely.
I'm wearing a Rolling Stones t-shirt.
Not in their prime in our life at all.
Oh, I'd say the Chili Peppers were a bigger band in their prime.
I mean, and haven't lasted anywhere near as long, but okay. I mean, I know
still
they're still
cranking
around,
out tunes.
U2 is still making like actively.
No, they don't. When was the last U2 album?
Remember when it showed up on everybody's iPhone? Everyone was like, what the hell is going on?
30 years ago.
Here? It was like 6 years ago. And they're selling out that huge bubble or whatever in Las Vegas, the Sphere in Las Vegas, for like $3,000 a ticket or whatever it is. Like, well, yeah, they're still enormous.
They're not doing that anymore. And, of course, they need a gimmick to sell tickets. The music ain't doing it.
No, people are still huge U2 fans.
What's his name, the lead singer, Bono? He was in Sing 2.
Was he?
And that might be the only thing he's ever done that I've liked. He's the lion.
Okay.
Have you seen Sing 2?
Yeah, just wrapped up March 2nd. They wrapped up their residency.
Thank goodness.
At the Sphere.
Get on with it.
Hey, no, I told you, I'm not a huge U2 guy either, but hard to argue with their popularity.
They're charging like $3,000 a ticket to go see like nature documentaries at that Sphere thing.
Yeah.
They're taking advantage of the uniqueness of it.
Yep.
Which I can't wait till tickets prices drop a little bit because I'd love to see something there. I bet it's incredible.
Yeah, sounds cool.
I almost hate to support James Dolan in anything, but that is tempting. And it's kind of a cool part of the Vegas skyline now.
Yeah, it's unique. There's two of them, right?
Is there?
There's another one somewhere else. Or they were building another one somewhere else. But, yeah, this might have been the prototype.
Omaha?
I think that's where they were putting it. Omaha, Nebraska.
I mean, that's where I'd put it. Sarah, how was your weekend? Do all right?
Yeah.
You had to put up with Hatch and Michelle on the Saturday show. How'd that go?
Wasn't bad. They're not the worst people to work with.
Why are you shaking your head? No. Are you shaking your head like
I am not shaking my head?
I still love the technical foul segment. That's my favorite. Did you have a nice weekend, Ben?
A+ weekend. Got the mower out.
How'd that go?
That was nice.
The start?
First try.
First pull?
Love a Honda.
Wow.
Yeah, I trust a Honda.
God, that's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Didn't even put new gas in it or anything. Same old gas.
Same gas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that thing will survive the apocalypse. That's great.
That's always nice.
When whatever the future race is that inhabits this planet, all they're going to find is cockroaches and Honda lawnmowers. What the hell were these people doing?
Man, I put up with an unreliable snowblower for so long. And I just go out there when there's just a mountain of snow on the driveway and just yank on that thing for like 45 minutes and until it turned over. Just the worst. How nice is it to go out, cold start.
Yep.
Your darn lawnmower. Oh, I know first world problem or whatever, but home run there, Ben.
No, I felt the same way.
Home run.
Because I was like, I don't want to do this. It was cold over the weekend,
yeah.
But I had a couple of windows to mow, and I was like, all right, we'll just get it done. No basketball games on at the moment. We'll squeeze it in. I have a very big yard. It doesn't take very long.
Man, I was reminded how much I don't like spring sports in Utah over the weekend. Woke up Saturday to, you know, a yard full of snow. And looked in my email, hoping to see that email from the Rec Soccer League saying,
too cold.
Too cold.
Stay
let's not
home.
Play. That email never came, Ben. So it wasn't too bad, but did spend, you know, she had a 9:30 soccer game.
Cold.
Shivering out there.
It's cold. Poor kids. Makes them
tough. It does make them tough, yep. But, you know, it's no fun as a spectator.
I would be layered up.
That's exactly
what
happened.
Lots of layers, lots of hot beverages.
Exactly. Anyway, spring sports are underway in Utah.
Indoor sports only for us.
I mean, I remember, like, as a playing baseball growing up, you remember tryouts, you know, stuff like that, and it was either gorgeous and sunny or snowing.
Yep.
And you dreaded it when it snowed because they still, you know, of course, those coaches still made you hit, you know,
right.
Tryouts and all that. And
sting those hands.
Oh, it would hurt so bad. Yep. Every time you even, like, a foul ball, you
I draw
just
a lot of
dreaded
walks,
it.
Coach.
Oh, I'm going to stand up here with my bat on my shoulder. This is batting practice. We're throwing you strike. Ah, you know, I'm going to be picky.
It's the Euclid approach.
Make sure I get my pitch.
Never swing at the first pitch, coach.
Oh, man. But anyway, so to all those parents who stood in the snow watching soccer games and various things, I salute you.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Well, good on you.
Parent win. All right, Ben, we have a lot to talk about. The favorites are in the championship game in the NCAA tournament. How boring.
I can't wait. This is the most excited I've been for a college national championship game in a very long time.
Really?
Why? I'm really excited to watch Donovan Klingon and Zach Edey play. That's awesome. We haven't had a premier matchup of star players like this that I can remember in a very long time. Like, star on star, power on power. Zach Edey's the best player in college basketball. The only player who's even remotely close to his size is Donovan Klingon. They're both going to be first-round draft picks. Like, this is a cool matchup. This is a throwback heavyweight matchup that we used to see in college basketball that I don't remember seeing in a very long time. So that part of it's cool. I think UConn is going to end in a double-digit victory because I think they're too athletic for Purdue, and their wings are too big, and they have other lottery picks on the roster, but I'm excited to see those two. I'm excited to see if Klingon can do anything against Edey. That's what I'm excited for. And then we had great college basketball news yesterday night that broke out of nowhere.
Yeah, we broke it on the postgame show.
Oh, did you? That's kind of fun.
Well, I don't know. I'm not that thrilled. I like an underdog story. And that's not really what we're getting. But,
no.
I mean, you're getting the two best teams in college basketball. So if that rarely happens.
Agreed.
In the NCAA tournament, and it did happen, so I can see where you're coming from. I don't know. I'm having a tough time juicing. I mean, I'm not like, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be into it, but I don't know. I wish NC State was there. That's what I just keep watching and thinking, man, I wish the Mighty Wolfpack were still playing and not this stiff from Perdon't. But Hurley's a good coach.
Great coach.
That's
yeah.
who I'd hire if I was Kentucky. If you want to
he's not leaving,
merge the two stories, that's who I'd hire.
I don't know why you would leave UConn after back-to-back titles.
Yeah, because Kentucky's going to pay you like $20 million a year.
Maybe.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not like UConn can afford whatever because they don't care about football.
Right.
Just like Kentucky, so they'll shovel everything his way. I would doubt he's – but that would be my first phone
he's
call.
He's also pretty slick, right, Hurley? He's very northeastern – waspy guy, right? Like,
yeah.
He's not that Kentucky. He's not kind of that historic type of coach they've had. He makes total sense at UConn to me.
Yeah, but he probably hates Geno like everybody else and can't wait to get out of that
Maybe.
Building.
Maybe.
I just, the working conditions, I got to get out of here. Yeah, I don't think he's leaving, but that'd be my first phone call. It'll be interesting to see where Kentucky goes. Of course, there's a local tie there. Does Mark Pope go home, so to speak?
I'd be stunned.
Why stunned? I wouldn't be stunned.
I bet he's not even on the short list. Had they had more success in the tournament, maybe. But the guys that are going to get opportunities first, that someone will take the job before it gets to Mark Pope. Nate Oates, I know he has a huge buyout, but has done an incredible job at Alabama. That's obviously the first name. A lot of rumors about Billy Donovan, who we last saw in college basketball winning back-to-back titles with Florida. Probably out at Chicago this year. He might have interest in the job, though. I wouldn't want to go NBA to college basketball, but it's Kentucky. It's not traditional college basketball. There's some good names out there.
Well,
Scott Drew.
Billy Donovan, not a good coach.
The interesting thing would be if Scott Drew takes the job, does Baylor call Mark Pope? That might be what's interesting. I don't think Mark Pope jumps to Kentucky, but does he get a secondary job? Because, again, this all happened because did SMU's coach quit? Or did he get fired?
It doesn't matter.
Because Enfield was takes that
going,
job.
He was going to get fired. And actually, I think we have two of this circumstance, Ben, where both coaches were told by the university, like, look, save some face, find another gig. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure USC told Enfield, like, we're moving on from you. If you can find another gig, then maybe we can mutually kind of all look decent in this circumstance. I mean, why else would you take SMU? And I 100% think that's what Calipari is doing in Kentucky.
I think he saw the writing on the wall and didn't want to overstay his welcome.
Yeah, Kentucky told him, like, Cal, we're moving on. And we don't care how much it's going to cost because we're Kentucky, so we'll buy you out.
I'm not sure I understand the Musselman move in retrospect, going to USC, other than they must be paying him a fortune. But so can Arkansas, because they're giving Coach Cal $15 million a year or whatever it costs. I don't understand that move. Musselman's been really good at Arkansas. Two Elite Eight runs, right? A Sweet 16?
Rather be in Southern California.
Probably. But, I mean, we've talked on the show. I told you I talked to somebody who knows college basketball in that area of the world better than I do, who says, yeah, the money at Arkansas is stupid. The money they will spend on their basketball team is crazy, and I didn't learn until last night. It's the Tyson Chicken Air billionaire who's funding all this movement in Arkansas and was the one going out and buying Anthony Black and all these guys who have been lottery picks in recent years.
But, see, the muscle man has been to the pinnacle and back. He's probably looking for other things other than just blind college basketball ambition, honestly. Because, what, he's been a coach in the NBA. He's had his career ended, and then he rehabbed his career at multiple places. You know, leaving Nevada for Arkansas is kind of a no-brainer, no offense to the biggest little college basketball program in the country. But it wouldn't surprise me if a guy like that's like, yeah, I'd rather live in Orange County or whatever and have the lifestyle that I'm looking for at a football school where the pressure to win in basketball. I mean, look, Andy Enfield has underachieved for his entire run at USC, and it lasted like 7 years, which seems crazy to me. But I'm not so sure the Bustle Man is looking for college basketball glory as much as he is like, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
It's not that great. I'd rather.
And he may want to be in the Big Ten, and I'm sure USC offered him a ton of money, and yeah, Southern California,
all
the things.
All he has to do is finish middle of the league. And he's going to have a job for 10 years.
Make the tournament.
Right.
Which you
should
be able to
do. Once in a while. I don't even think he has to do it every year.
You should be able to do it at USC because they've already shown a willingness to buy the recruits.
But Enfield didn't make the tournament every year. Not even close.
No. Right. He's a bad coach.
And even now we're talking about he wasn't technically fired.
Right.
So I can see it. But I think Calipari, I would be shocked if he didn't get some sort of buyout on his contract by other means. Like, because leaving $30-plus million on the table, and I know his contract with Arkansas will make up that money, but it'll take him 3 years to make up that money. He could have had that money and taken the Arkansas job if he had just made Kentucky fire him, which he easily could have done. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was, like, a $10 million, hey, we got a booster to pay you $10 million. Go take that deal in Arkansas, and we're not going to give you the whole 30, but give you a nice little thanks for the effort sum. Now go take that job, and we all save face.
It's a weird move. It's a downgrade, right? Like,
that's the same thing as the SMU move, yeah.
Arkansas is not a better job than Kentucky. And I don't think Coach Cal is a very good coach. I mean, I think we agree on that, right?
Yes, we do.
He's a great recruiter. He's had Kentucky's name to help him recruit. Do those kids follow him to Arkansas? He's got the number two recruiting class next year. How many of those, you know, top 15 recruits follow him? I don't know. Arkansas can probably pay more, crazy enough, because they're investing in Coach Cal. They probably also gave him $10 million to recruit with or whatever it costs to build a team next year because they want to be relevant. It's funny because that's also not the way teams are winning in college basketball anymore. I mean, look at Zach Edey. Look at Donovan Klingon being a second-year big man.
He might change his style, though, in Arkansas because it's a less glamorous spot for freshmen.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And I don't know if he's good enough to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you even give him the pieces if he can make the adjustments. He didn't know how to attack Oakland's zone defense.
Yeah,
but that's how Oakland plays all year, and he didn't know what to do about it.
But that's the thing is, what's his true skill is taking credit for uberly talented players.
Right.
But the uberly talented players that are winning right now are not
freshmen.
Freshmen.
Yeah, not like that.
No, because you can get veteran players on every team now.
And kids will stick around.
Yeah.
Kids will stick around if they can continue
to make. He should change his game plan.
$500,000, $1 million playing at you know, a sophomore season, where versus, you know, just saying, well, I'm going to leave regardless, and if I'm a late second-round pick, it's fine. No, kids will come back. So you're getting older schools having more advantage. UConn's a great example of that right now. They lost five guys last year, but they brought back arguably their most important piece in Klingon, and he made a bunch of money, I'm sure, at UConn this year. Ironically, did you see the complaint that Zach Edey can't make money because he's Canadian?
No.
Zach Edey's on a work visa or a school visa.
Yeah, yeah.
So he can't make money. So he's missing out on millions of dollars in NIL, at least hundreds of thousands, but probably easily a million. He's best player in college basketball and can't make any money.
Well, yeah, we don't care about the boot for Canadians. Not our problem.
Yeah.
Student visa, man. He can't work.
Sorry, bud.
Want to go back?
Want to go play in Canada?
Knock yourself right out.
Can play in whatever league they have
up there. I hear the University of Ontario has a baller team.
But anyway, it's kind of interesting. It was a fun college basketball. I have one friend who's a Kentucky fan, and I was texting him immediately, and he was excited. And then I asked him about Mark Pope, and he mentioned all these other names too. And it was interesting. So Mark Pope is not out of the tornado, right? He's not out of the, but I think it's a secondary move. I don't think it's front runner for Kentucky.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd take it.
And he better interview for it, right? Like,
yeah.
At least go interview. Might as well, if you get the opportunity, you might as well throw your name in the
You know what?
Hat.
If it is a secondary thing, if I'm him, I don't know if I do move, actually. Because speaking of bringing players back, it would appear he's going to bring most of his team back.
Unless he wants to bring him wherever he goes.
Next year. So,
a la Baylor.
But, you know, you can win at BYU next year. I think it might be a little bit different if he was facing starting from scratch. But we'll see.
Yeah.
It would appear BYU has a really good coach in place, though. So I'm sure they're going to do everything they possibly can to keep him. Although, you know, you can't compete with the dollar figure from a school like Kentucky. So that's what makes it difficult. I mean, it's just like Danny Sprinkle in Washington. I mean, Utah State tried its best. Like, this is every penny that we could find on campus.
Yep.
And they couldn't come within, you know,
country 50, mile.
50% of Washington. So it's a brutal game in that way.
I wish the game was earlier tonight. I wish it wasn't a 7:20 tip-off. It's surprisingly late for a college basketball
it
game.
It always is. That's every year it's at 7:20.
I liked that the women's game yesterday was a 1 p.m. tip-off. We got to sit down and hung out with my kids and threw the game on and kind of did stuff around the house and watched the game. It was fun. I wish we would get, I mean, obviously, not 1 o'clock. We're all going to be looking at the eclipse midday today, but I wish it was, you know, 6, 5:30, more prime time.
I didn't watch 1 second of the women's game yesterday.
Oh, no?
No?
Great.
Well, we're making some changes in the internet department, and so we picked a great time to do that because we didn't have any sort of broadcast television availability.
Oh, okay. Nothing.
And they've been streaming most of the men's tournament on Max,
mm-hmm.
but because they're obviously sexist, they did not have it streaming on Max for the women's
game. It's on Channel 2, right?
But we don't have the rabbit ears because we're in transition, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just bad timing.
Yeah.
So I would like to have watched it. I would have watched it. We actually, as a family, scheduled to watch it.
And then the cable company had a different idea.
And we didn't. Yeah. And then we did not watch it. So I'm sure it was magic.
Ah, it was a great start. Fizzled towards the end. Credit Iowa. They kept coming back. The talent at Iowa is so different than the talent at South Carolina.
Yeah, I thought Caitlin Clark's quotes after the game talking about how she didn't regret choosing Iowa, I thought that was really interesting because women's college basketball is different from the men's in a sense that the talent isn't as spread out. There's a reason that Geno's won 36 titles at UConn or whatever, or Pat Summitt won so much at Tennessee. And then you can throw in a couple of programs. Obviously, South Carolina certainly qualifies now. You know, you look at Stanford and like all the real talent is grouped in these, you know, 3 to 5 teams or mm-hmm. whatever. And Iowa is not that. And so I thought it was cool that if you wanted looking for a men's college basketball comparison, Ben, it'd be like, because she was the 4th or 5th ranked recruit in the country, I think, when she was coming out of high school. So it would be like a McDonald's All-American picking a Big Sky team.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I'm not trying to downgrade Iowa. The sport is just structured so different. I mean, you know, high-profile talent like that is going to UConn, South Carolina, Tennessee, Stanford. Who am I missing? But one of those four or five schools.
It was cool.
And she picked Iowa, and I thought it was cool that she said she didn't regret it. That's my point.
I saw a tweet yesterday that had the top five recruits from the 2020 women's high school basketball recruiting, and this was the order of them. Paige Beckers won at UConn, superstar. Angel Reese went to Maryland, obviously transferred to LSU, superstar. Cameron Brink, the big power forward at Stanford, superstar. Caitlin Clark, fourth, superstar, went to Iowa. Camilla Cordosa went to Syracuse originally, ended up at South Carolina, five. That was the five. I mean, those were the five we were talking about all month. Very cool that they all stepped up, lived up to the hype. They're all going to the WNBA. Very cool. Paige Beckers probably goes back to UConn. But anyway, so a bunch of these girls are making the jump. Really cool.
Do you have a take on Taurasi Hayton? On Caitlin Clark, which wasn't really Hayden, by the way. I don't have her quote in front of me, but it was basically like, wait till she gets to the WNBA and plays up against these pros and stuff like that. She's in for a rude awakening kind of thing.
Every old head feels that way in sports, right? Like, Charles Barkley still doesn't believe in young players. Like, every NBA analyst is like, these new guys don't know how to play. It's like, I mean, they're all better than you are.
Well, it wasn't just her, too. It was Lynette Woodard, the one that she broke her record,
yeah.
And
she fired a shot
saying that she didn't. She doesn't think she did.
Yeah, it was bizarre. You know what the difference is going to be that I think a lot of people are overlooking, and I'm not trying to pretend that Diana Taurasi doesn't know 1,000 times more about basketball, especially women's basketball, than I do. But also, like, with all due respect to Iowa, like, she's also going to get to play with pro players. Like, she's the best playmaker I've ever seen in women's basketball. Like, yes, we can talk about, like, that she can shoot from 26 feet on average. Like, yeah, her shot-making is absurd. She's the best passer I've ever seen from any women's basketball player. I mean, she makes reads that nobody makes. It's unbelievable how she plays the game. And now when she starts playing with better athletes that they don't have at Iowa and other professional female players, she's going to be her game's going to open up. It's not going to get worse. Like, I think she's going to step up and be one of the best players in the WNBA within months, if not weeks. I mean, she's really going to fit in perfectly.
I don't necessarily agree with that. And actually, I think it's kind of unfair to expect that because Diana Taurasi actually isn't 100% wrong. But Ben, she's going to be a rookie. Like, LeBron didn't dominate the NBA as a rookie. Like, that just doesn't happen. She is going to be playing against grown women. Here's the thing, Ben. You as well. I've worked with a lot of ex-athletes. I've covered a lot of ex-athletes. I've interviewed a lot of ex-athletes. And there's one thing they all have in common. They are all super jelly of the people that are currently doing it.
Yeah.
Diana Taurasi probably hasn't made $3 million in her whole career. Caitlin Clark made $3 million this year.
Yeah.
Diana Taurasi is a brilliant player, as you say.
Right.
Has not gotten even 10% of the attention over her whole career
right.
as Caitlin Clark. And here's what makes former athletes, some of them, not all, but some of them really good analysts, is because they're jelly and they're going to step in and crap all over everybody.
Yeah, they're going to nitpick everything.
Which is what we want to hear. We want to hear opinions. We want to hear takes. We want to hear what Charles Barkley has to say. Yeah, he's super jealous because he was 10 times the player that some of these shoe clerks are, and they make 10 times the money he ever did.
Right.
And get attention and the glamour and this. I bet when Charles started his career in the NBA, they were still taking buses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's looking at the private jets. You know, I bet NBA teams flew commercial until the early 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And because the sport has grown so much and the money is so big, they all look back. What do you think our mutual friend, Kyle Gunther, what do you think he thinks when he looks at Utah football now with the NIL and stuff? And no offense to Kyle, he's just our example here. He's super jealous.
Yeah, the starting center at the University of Utah, football, not basketball, probably gets a little bit of extra money in his pocket.
And they're not playing on AstroTurf in the bubble.
Right.
They have that beautiful football facility, right, which has all these great things.
Right. And they're not nitpicking over the second scooping right. of pasta you take.
And so I'm sure part of him looks back and is like, God, these softy cakes have it easy. And they're just celebrated and lauded and coddled. That's not how it was when I played.
Yep.
Yeah, Diana Taurasi's super jealous. But it doesn't mean that she's not wrong. Caitlin's going to be a rookie in the WNBA next year. Now, I don't think anybody's going to pay attention enough to make those kind of judgments, maybe for 10 minutes. I think Caitlin's making a huge mistake by leaving and going to the NBA or WNBA.
We'll see.
I think the platform of women's college basketball is way bigger.
It's obviously enormous. I mean, we are talking more about Caitlin Clark now than we will about her probably for the rest of our career.
Unless she gets jailed in Russia.
Yeah.
And I'm that's a flippant joke, and I don't mean to be disrespectful.
No, I mean, it takes, unfortunately, to draw mass interest.
But Brittany Griner was Caitlin Clark before Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Or we don't talk about Breanna Stewart. There's a real chance that Breanna Stewart's the greatest female college basketball or female basketball player of all time, right? Like, 4 national titles, 4 most outstanding players at UConn, has dominated the WNBA since she's been in there. To your point, she didn't even make an all-star game. Her rookie season averaged like 18 and 10, but her second season she took over and has been an all-star basically ever since, barring when she tore her Achilles. But yes, I mean, she's as good as it's ever been we've ever seen. We don't talk about Breanna Stewart.
Well, and I actually find the talk over the weekend about how we're seeing the emergence of women's basketball and women's sports. If I was Diana Taurasi, I'd find that kind of insulting. You know what I mean? Or if I'm Brandi Chastain or Mia Hamm or any of these people that have truly made their mark in sports, I'd be like, nah, dude, we've been around for a minute. You know?
Yeah.
We've taken the world by storm.
Absolutely.
Brandi Chastain's like, I've done the Gatorade commercials or whatever.
Right.
It's the sustainability of it that is the challenge. And if Caitlin Clark actually accomplishes that, well, then I will talk about the emergence of women's sports, I suppose. But right now? Like, yeah, it's gotten more attention than it ever has. And good for her, and she deserves a lot of credit. But yeah, if I'd come first and be like, what do you mean, emergence of women's sports?
Sure.
Cheryl Swoops is like, dude, I was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in the 90s. What are you talking about?
Cheryl Miller's like, I've been here. I've done all this before.
All of it.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely right.
So, I don't know. I think she is hating a little bit, the WNBA players, but I actually really understand it.
And it's par for the course for every athlete talking about the next generation.
It is.
It's par for the course.
You look back and you go, golly, back in my day.
And you know what?
Back in my day.
15 years from now, Caitlin Clark will probably be doing it to the next one.
Back in my day.
And you know what?
You should have seen it. I had a wave.
The nice thing is Caitlin Clark does not exist without Diana Taurasi or Sue Bird.
Exactly.
And they don't exist without Cheryl Miller. You know, and the next generation, which is going to be even better than this generation, will have grown up watching Caitlin Clark and realize, hey, I can play a different style of basketball than they played. I don't just have to be 6'7" and dominate the way some of the women have. And I'm going to take this next step and we're going to change the game and it's going to continue to get better. And that is the good part.
And none of them exist without Billie Jean King, and none of them exist without Title IX. In an era where we're about to flush Title IX right down the toilet, let's show a little appreciation.
Yep.
All right, stay tuned. We've got more next. Top 3 stories coming up straight ahead. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day. This is the Top 3 Stories of the Day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Ben, the Masters is this week. That means You Went to Golf giveaway is back. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We're going to sign you a golfer in the You Went to Golf Major giveaway from You Went to Golf, of course. If your player wins, you win your player's brand of driver.
Whoa.
Nice.
Big daddy.
So we'll assign you, Sarah will assign you a golfer. And then whatever brand that golfer plays, Ping, TaylorMade, whatever, you're going to get that branded driver. Pretty sweet. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We also want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination in kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Time for the top 3 stories of the day, kslsports.com. Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number 1, the Jazz drop another game.
Hey, what was your takeaway on Friday when Will Hardy benched the rookies?
Good for him. But I mean, they were so terrible.
They were bad.
Will Hardy said never in his basketball life had he seen a start that bad.
No, I mean, yeah, Jazz were down 24-4 5 minutes into the game. That was the earliest I'd ever seen a 20-point deficit in the game.
And in large part, I think it's because players probably felt entitled to minutes and weren't playing hard.
And look, all three of them, I think, actually responded pretty well last night.
I agree, even though they got trounced in the first quarter.
They were bad again in the first, but you know, Keontae had a night. He had a much-needed breakout of his shooting slump in the fourth quarter. We'll see if that carries over at all. But his shooting slump had really lasted almost a month now. It was like 3 weeks of really, really bad shooting. I thought Bryce had a good fourth quarter as well, and then Taylor Hendricks just did what Taylor Hendricks did, which is knock down open shots.
You know what's funny is I didn't think Keontae had a great game.
It wasn't until the fourth quarter.
And when the game was long over.
Yeah, and he helped, you know, it got down to
like
eight.
8 points in the last, like, minute and a half.
Yeah, he did. But I think, honestly, just seeing the ball go in the hoop was important for him. He hasn't seen that in a very long time.
Fair enough, but how many assists did he have last night, Ben?
Only one.
And, like, here's a little challenge, and I hate picking on Keontae because I think that there are plenty of players, to your point about Friday night against the Clippers. Watch how much he runs.
Oh, yeah,
the answer is none.
Yeah, he doesn't.
If he has the ball in his hands, he runs. I watched an entire possession of the Jazz on offense where he didn't. It was a transition, and Jazz set up their offense in transition or whatever. He stood in the same place the whole possession.
Yeah.
Even had a chance to box out and go for a rebound and just stood in the same spot.
He will do. I notice this a lot too. He will defend the first action. Like whatever his first job is on defense, he will do it. And then he will stop for the rest of the possession.
Over.
Like he will just stand wherever the end of that first action left him. And it doesn't matter if somebody pops out to the perimeter or cuts, like he's not going to address that. And I didn't see that early in his career, which makes me think he's tired and he's not doing it. But again, at this point, you should be better just kind of naturally reading some of
that's where
things.
The benching comes from. I'm sure digesting the film and they're like, God, why aren't you running? There was a play last night. And last night was better, but this play still stands out in my mind. Colin Sexton made a layup where he was falling out of bounds. Golden State transitioned off a made basket, and Colin Sexton ran the whole floor and blocked the layup at the other end. You remember what I'm talking about? Why on earth is Colin Sexton the one back on that play after he just made the layup falling out of bounds?
Yeah.
That's all four other players on the court at the time not running.
Yep.
At all. You should never have a transition bucket off a made basket, ever, 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 let alone have the guy who just made the basket chase down the play on the other end. That's crazy.
I'm with you.
And if I were seeing that as a coach, I'd bench everybody too. I'd be like, I'm not putting up with that. You're not in play hard and pass has been his mantra all year. He should stick with it. And if you're not playing hard, you're not going to play.
They played better yesterday. The whole team did against a worse Warriors team. Warriors are not as good as the Clippers, and the Clippers weren't great, but they bounced back and played a little bit. Again, they're designed to lose every game. They're going to lose every game. I don't think they're going to win any of their next four. Maybe they could find a way to beat Houston in their final home game of the season coming up on Thursday, but I'm not betting on it. There's still a chance that they could actually end up with the seventh worst records. They are 2 games ahead of the Memphis Grizzlies in the standings. I don't think they'll make that up in 4 games, but they could.
I don't think the losing is as frustrating as, like, this sounds so cliche, but the way they're losing,
yeah,
because the defense is non-existent. That was the easiest 32 points Klay Thompson has had in his career. Do you know how many Clippers players were in double figures on Friday?
Eight. Yeah.
Eight.
Crazy.
Eight. There's no resistance. And part of it's that Yurtseven is their only big currently playing. And so the other team just has a layup fest, and that's somewhat.
Yeah, he refuses to rotate. It's funny.
But don't even put that on him. He's the only big player on the team.
Well, he's still got to rotate to the rim, and he won't do it.
He'll
just watch the guy in the corner and be like, "Well, I guess that's not my job." And everyone looks at him like, "Hey,
yeah, but
I gotta get to the hoop, my man."
Do you think anybody's frightened of Lukas Šamanić?
No, of course not. No,
you know what I mean.
Jazz are terrible.
But it's the resistance is so.
It's non-existent.
Yep. That, like, the get after it factor is super low. And again, it's a bad circumstance, but a little more of that would be nice, I would think. All right, what's next?
Number two, the college basketball title game is tonight.
UConn, Purdue, 7:20. I'll be curious what the ratings on this turn out to be. I'm not a huge ratings guy, but this has been a fun tournament. I think it's been a really good men's tournament. It was obviously a great women's tournament. This has been a good season for college basketball nationally. I think people have been interested. There's been big names. There have been familiar names. I think that helps. Even if you're a casual fan, you know who Zach Edey is. You know, you're not learning about him for the first time. You saw him last year. If you watched UConn last year, you know Klingon. You know he's coming back. Big coaches. I mean, it's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I don't know if Edey's fun to watch. I don't put him in the fun to watch category, but he is effective.
And he's unique.
He is.
I mean, you've just never seen anybody like that. I've never seen a 7'4" player that dominant at the college level.
And I'm officially, you know, I kind of like Hurley, but I'm officially not, I'm done giving UConn coaches any credit.
Okay.
That's way more about the program than it is about the coach. Like, probably a brainless buffoon could win a national title at UConn, apparently. And you know what? If you want to look into it, it's probably because they pour all of their resources into basketball, men's and women's for that matter. But all of they, you wonder why their football team is bad every year? It's because they're like, did you ever watch Little Giants as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know where they're putting on the pads that aren't really pads? Mm-hmm. Like some kids like taping a sponge as a shoulder pad? That's UConn football. They're right. Like, we'll give you enough money to barely keep the lights on. Keep the lights on only after the sun goes down. But we're pouring everything we got into basketball. That's a thing. And Purdue's a basketball school.
I'll be watching how they play defense. Alabama was effective because they challenged Stephen Castle to make threes, and he made his first two, but they still stayed off of him. I bet Edey doesn't start the game guarding Donovan Klingon, which is interesting because it's the 2 7-footers. I bet they use him off the ball to kind of come over and help.
Well, they don't want him in foul trouble.
Also, they don't want him in foul trouble.
What's next?
Number three, Ryan Smith asks Utahns about the potential NHL team name.
Just sent out this survey, which I don't think you do on accident.
Do we know any of the candidates?
Let's look at it. I mean, we've heard the Yetis is kind of, I would say, the quasi front runner, but no, this you sign up for a proposed name, you just throw your own name in. So you just suggest a name.
If it ends up being the Gulls, I'm going to be really upset.
You don't want the Gulls or the Golden Eagles?
Golden Eagles, fine. Gulls, no.
Why not?
I think it's ridiculous that that's our state bird. And I don't think we need to identify anymore with the bird that eats out of the trash. Golden Eagles, we have beautiful Golden Eagles around here. That'd be a wonderful representation of who we are and where we live.
But
yes,
not garbage birds?
Not birds that are known for eating garbage and crapping on people. I don't like that that's our... You know our state bird is actually named the California Gull?
Yeah.
It's got another state's name in the dang name. So no, I don't want the Gulls. Anything but the Gulls.
I don't think it'll be the Gulls.
Yeti's fine. I don't know. But the mythical creatures is kind of isn't that already taken? That's like Seattle's thing.
Yeah, Kraken and is that all they have?
Yeah, right. But it's like how every team in the NBA all of a sudden started wearing teal after it was popular with the Hornets in the 90s.
Sure.
Create your own trend.
I think we'll see. I think Yetis make sense. Regardless, my hot take is I think the colors are going to be red, white, and blue. A, it's American. B, you get the red from the Utah fans and the blue from the BYU fans. And yeah, I think you can mix those together. So I could see that happening. Though, that is what the Colorado Avalanche are wearing, and they would be the primary rival, at least geographically.
Well, and Ryan Smith's a BYU guy. He didn't want any red in there.
Eh, I think he's smart to recognize. He's not trying to turn anybody off.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see. Who knows? It's so far down the road. Or it's like 3 months down the road. I really don't know.
I don't want the Yetis either now. Nope. The Kraken already, that's a thing.
Okay.
Like, I don't want the unicorns either. Mythical creatures is taken.
I mean, but the Kraken only exists because it's a marine thing, and Seattle's a marine city.
And it's not Mariners. Like we're swimming in Big Feet.
But we're a mountain town.
And it's
Yeti is
it
a
gets
mountain,
cold.
And it's cold, and it's a cold weather sport. Yeah, I mean, it all makes sense.
You can't just take all mythical creatures just because they have the Kraken.
The Yetis makes it
yeah,
make
you
sense.
Can.
And again, Utah Yetis, UY, University of Utah, the U, Y, the Y, BYU. Be red, white, and blue. It kind of lays out perfectly.
What about the Losers?
Okay. Yeah. No one would ever make a word play on words of the Losers.
But we're famous for our luge.
For our luging.
Yes.
Constantly losing.
We're losers.
Yeah, the losers.
Yeah, I don't like fun. I don't like happiness.
Oh, what's not fun about luge?
Yetis is better.
Yetis. Oh, Yetis stinks. You guys are crazy. What? Want to remind you to join JJ and Alex Wednesday from 3 to 6 at the Dish Bros, 8034 South State Street in Midvale. We can do better. Come on.
Log on to kslsports.com. He's going to be doing a big interview series with Jay Stevens, who works with us doing hockey stuff. Figure it out.
How about the Utah Aspen?
You got to stop using words like loser and aspen.
You know that the biggest living thing on the planet is a like grove of aspen down in, what county is it? It's by Fish Lake.
Because they all share a root system, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not individual.
Like the whole forest is like one thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
I know.
That's pretty cool, actually.
The Utah Aspen.
It's not going to work.
Let's go kick some aspen.
That's what other teams are going to say.
Stay tuned. More next, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
Sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's going to lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. That we appreciate you.
That is South Carolina head women's basketball coach Dawn Staley talking about Caitlin Clark after defeating Caitlin to win the national championship. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Our 50 segment is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. I thought that was a classy move on Coach Staley's part. She didn't have to do that, which I thought made it seem more genuine. And I thought it was a nice moment.
You just can't look at what Caitlin Clark has done through a negative lens. I mean, it would be difficult to do that. And if you want to say, oh, she's in for a rude awakening at the next level, I think that's criticism that is fair. And we will see if she can answer that. But, I mean, think of the amount of money that's going to be generated in NIL deals for players next year that are entering college, whether they're high school recruits or transfers. Like, the cost for these women is going to go up significantly because people are going to recognize, like, oh, if we have the next Caitlin Clark, look at what that does for our school. So we want to invest in hoping we find the next superstar. So it's going to generate a ton of money for the women, ideally for women's college basketball, and it's going to continue to grow. And like I've said a lot, I mean, I remember, you know, Rebecca Lobo coming up and like seeing her at UConn and like what a big deal it was, and Brittany Griner, and like every 6 or 7 years it felt like there was a star coming through. And now it feels like it's about every 2 or 3 years. Like, it's getting even better. There's a lot of talent coming up. And you know what? Investing in it, women getting paid, it's going to make the interest in it higher, and it's going to create better talent.
If all that's true about Caitlin, can we get her old man a bucket of popcorn or something? Does he have to be sneaking snacks into the game? For crying out loud. Just tell old man Clark, be like, bro, the concession stand is right over there. You don't need to, this isn't, you're going to be on national TV a fair amount, dude. Don't sneak snacks in your sweatshirt pouch like you're five.
He always has the big sweatshirt on. I like that he does it for candy.
Snacks in his pouch.
I do like that that's the secret, is that he doesn't just wear that because he's like a sports dad. He does it because he's a cheap dad.
Just sneaking in snacks. Kyle, I'm sure just talk to the SID or something. They'll rustle you up some popcorn or a hot dog or something. Yeah.
There's some Swedish fish floating around before the game that they can bring up to you specifically.
They caught him multiple times right on camera. And he's digging into that pouch and pulling out snacks. Have you ever snuck food into a movie theater?
No, of course.
Yeah, it's like a discreet experience. You got to be like, you're on national TV, dude. You're going to get busted with those snacks.
Yeah, you've got to recognize how much you're on TV.
I'm just picturing the camera guy like telling the producer every couple minutes, he's doing it again. Let's get to him.
These candies are in a Ziploc bag. They don't sell those.
Your daughter made $3 million this year. I bet she could figure out a way to get you some snacks for the game.
Yeah, correct. Or they'll give them to you as an advertising.
They will totally give.
You can't strike a deal with M&M's?
You know, has Caitlin Clark really arrived if her dad's still digging in that pouch for some snacks? I don't think so.
You can't get a dad deal for Twizzlers?
Something?
So you proudly show it every time you're on camera? Just being like, her dad eats Twizzlers. That's where the kid came from.
Just pictured her dad walking into the game with like looking like he's 7 or 8 months pregnant because he's got snacks just weighing down. It's like if you've ever, well, snuck beverages into the movie theater and you walk in. Your clothes are just hanging off you.
Hanging tight.
Hanging off you.
Are they so baggy?
Dude, I got 5 pounds of trail mix in this pouch.
Yeah, sneaking candy into a movie theater is tale as old as time.
Stay tuned. Tim Lacombe joins us next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.